It is March 29th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first four stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The Global Digital Asset and Cryptocurrency Association announced the release of its core principles for the digital asset industry. The steering committee that developed the core principles included J. Christopher Giancarlo, Maggie Sklar, Renato Scotta, and Dawn Stump. According to the Global DCA, the core principles are created to set the minimum standards and best practices for the conduct of centralized digital asset businesses that handle customer or user digital assets and funds and cover. The core principles include strong governance and system of checks and balances, protection of customer assets, enterprise risk management and stress testing, liquidity reserves, proper books and records, and annual independent audit. It used to be that Sam Bankman-Fried was in the news every day because he had a great public relations team working for him and because there was a great buzz around the boy wonder who had amassed the greatest fortune under 30 since Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. Journalists would convince their editors that they had to travel to the Bahamas to get the first-hand story about SBF in his beanbag chair and with his wild hair. Well, these days, SBF stays in the news for other reasons, and most of them are not good. Today, he is in the news for yet another indictment, this time for bribing foreign officials in order to get frozen funds released. The Financial Times reports, U.S. charges Sam Bankman-Fried with bribing Chinese officials, with the subheadline, prosecutors allege FTX founder made multi-million dollar payments to help unfreeze accounts. If Sam's goal was to stay in the news, then he is accomplishing his goal. However, the cost is pretty steep. The Financial Times is not the New York Post. You can tell because of a story in the Financial Times reported, first German Leopard 2 tanks delivered to Ukraine, rather than first German Leopard 2 tanks spotted in Ukraine. Here's another reason to ban TikTok. A Norwegian arms manufacturer said that a TikTok data center was eating all the electricity in the region, preventing the company from keeping up for the surging demand for ammunition, Business Insider reported. JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon is going to do something he really does not want to do, which is give sworn testimony under oath about the Jeffrey Epstein lawsuits, the Financial Times reported. He tried his best to get out of it, but alas, the law is for everyone. It costs a lot to buy into all of the connections you get from an Ivy League education. Bloomberg is reporting that Ivy League tuition, room, and board prices are pushing $90,000 a year, with Yale up 4% and Dartmouth and Brown up 5%. Compare that to Purdue, which has kept tuition frozen for the last 12 years and whose out-of-state tuition is less than $30,000 per year and in-state less than $10,000 per year. You need to add room and board onto the Purdue numbers, but they are still significantly below the Ivy League prices. All you have to do to go to Purdue is put up with the yearly disappointments in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. You don't hear much about the metaverse anymore. Maybe the crypto winter has put a freeze on this alternative universe. You would expect a company like Disney, which creates magical alternative worlds, to be in the forefront of such a great opportunity to expand its storytelling business. However, in the latest round of layoffs at Disney, which saw 7,000 people given pink slips, the 50-person Metaverse team were all laid off. Right now, there is no magic in the Metaverse kingdom for Disney. Even the Wall Street Journal is piling on with the Metaverse is so over stories with a piece titled, "The Metaverse is quickly turning into the Metaverse." Are you looking for an investment that can really pop and has some real fizz? Well, Bloomberg has a story for you with the investment that will make you money but keep you from celebrating too much lest you eat or drink into your profits. The story is champagne is outperforming gold and the S&P 500. Here's what to buy. Peak Six is always looking for new talented employees, but I really like their slogan for recruiting. Peak Six, we're in the business of what ought to be. Peter Fasaro is starting a new position as Managing Director, Head of Decarbonization, ESG and Impact at Wheeld & Company. ESG Investing, Risk Mitigation, Alpha and Intentionality, April 11th to 12th in Chicago at London House, presents institutional investors and ESG leaders discussing the risk-return outcomes of environmental, social, and governance investing. Pensions and Investments ESG Investing Conference looks at how material ESG factors are being incorporated across institutional portfolios and which leading ESG data and analytics are being used in calculating risks and opportunities. Learn more and register with the link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video, as mentioned yesterday, from our FIA Boca Conference. CME's Terry Duffy reflects on career, CME's civic leadership, and dreams for Exchange Group. John Lothian News interviewed Terry Duffy, the longtime CME Group chairman who has served as CEO since 2016 at the FIA's International Futures Industry Conference in Boca Raton, Florida. We asked him about his recent interview with ICE's podcast about CME's corporate citizenship and how that relates to the issues Chicago is facing and even his wife's recent carjacking. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Ken Fisher boosts Wall Street West with $197 billion Texas shift. Ken Fisher made a serious investment when he moved his firm from Northern California to Washington, seeking a friendlier business climate to house its rapid expansion, now just years after settling into a scenic wooded campus in Camas, just across the river from Portland, Oregon. The billionaire money manager is again shifting the headquarters of Fisher Investments, this time south to a Dallas suburb. My comment: you would think someone named Fisher would want to live by the seashore instead of in the middle of Texas, but he is running away from high taxes to go live the life of high cotton in Texas. Here's a story from the Financial Times. The headline: Credit Suisse sale forever impairs ability of banks to issue ATIs, investors warn. Additional Tier 1 bond market faces risk premium repricing in wake of Swiss banks' debt being written down ahead of equity. Some banks will struggle to issue a form of risky bonds used to bolster their capital, and others will pay a much higher price for them after similar debt held by Credit Suisse was wiped out in its forced sale, investors have warned. Swiss regulators' decision to write down $17 billion worth of Credit Suisse's additional Tier 1 AT1 bonds as part of the bank's purchase by UBS rather than wipe out shareholders has called into question the future viability of the $260 billion segment of the debt markets. My comment: maybe the investors should just price that risk into the bonds they buy. The binary element of having your investment wiped out does present a different kind of risk. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline: Russia says crop titan Cargill will stop exporting its grain. Ministry doesn't see move impacting overall Russian shipments. Cargill decision to take effect in coming crop year, RBC says. Russia says top agricultural commodities trader Cargill Inc. will stop exporting its grain, adding to uncertainty over the future of Black Sea crop shipments. As the biggest wheat exporter, Russian grain is vital to global crop trade and food supplies. A bumper harvest there last year helped wheat futures drop more than 40% from a record reached just after Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. Although Cargill is a big exporter of Russian wheat and a huge Western crop merchant, the government said the firm's decision shouldn't affect the overall shipments from the country. My comment: someone will want Russian grain, and someone will find a way to ship it. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our most read story on Tuesday was the CFTC's announcement. CFTC charges Binance and its founder, Chengbeng Zhao, with willful evasion of federal law and operating an illegal digital assets derivatives exchange. Second was Binance rejects U.S. charges of violating trading rules, manipulating markets from forecast. Third was Bloomberg's, is coffee bringing people back to the office? Here are the top four stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The headline: UBS brings back former CEO Sergio Ermotti after Credit Suisse deal. Ralph Hamers steps down as Swiss lender moves into new era, from the Wall Street Journal. UBS Group said Sergio Ermotti will return as chief executive officer to tackle the integration of Credit Suisse Group AG less than 2 weeks after regulators engineered a shotgun marriage of the Swiss banking giants. Mr. Ermotti led UBS for 9 years until 2020 and is credited with restoring the bank to health after a government bailout in 2008. He will succeed current CEO Ralph Hamers, who has run the bank for the past 3 years, on April 5th. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline: U.S. charges Sam Bankman-Fried with bribing Chinese officials. Prosecutors allege FTX founder made multi-million dollar payment to help unfreeze accounts. The U.S. has accused former FTX chief executive Sam Bankman-Fried of paying a $40 million bribe to one or more Chinese government officials in a revised indictment filed in federal court in Manhattan on Tuesday. Prosecutors allege Bankman-Fried sent the bribe in cryptocurrency to Chinese officials in order to regain access to trading accounts that had been frozen by law enforcement in the country. The accounts were linked to Alameda Research, FTX's sister company. Here's a story from The Trade. The headline: CBOE Australia completes technology migration alongside launch of CBOE Bids Australia. Technology migration follows CBO's acquisition of Chi-X Australia in 2021 and will aid expansion into Australia and Asia Pacific, while CBOE Bids Australia becomes first new launch post-migration. Global market infrastructure and tradable products provider Cboe Global Markets successfully migrated Cboe Australia to the Cboe technology platform on the 27th of March. Cboe Australia, which was formerly Chi-X Australia, was acquired by Cboe Global Markets on the 21st in July 2021 and then later rebranded as Cboe Australia in February 2022. And then here's a story from the Financial Times. Binance hid extensive links to China for several years. Company documents show crypto exchange relied on country long after it said it had left in 2017. Binance hid substantial links to China for several years, contradicting executives' claims that the crypto exchange left the country after a clampdown on the industry in late 2017, according to internal company documents seen by the Financial Times. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.